Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael coming back here. Just in the beginning of the show, I talked about some local news. Brown Waite secures more than $1 million for Brooksville Stars facility. It's said that in previous years, Congressman Brown Waite has taken a number of steps to ensure that facility remains open. She submitted testimony to the House Committee on the Budget, attesting the importance of facility to local community and cattle industry. She sent two letters in support of the Brooksville Stars facility. The first letter was to Chairman, Ranking Member of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Agriculture, Rural Development, Food and Drug Administration-related agencies. Second went directly to the United States Department of Agriculture. Now, so is what is the purpose of somebody who goes to Congress? Is that properly reflect what is the purpose? So I'm going to go to what the founders of our nation were reminded by Sir William Blackstone. He said, most gentlemen of considerable property at some period or other in their lives are ambitious of representing their country in Parliament, in this case Congress. And those who are ambitious of receiving too high a trust would also do well to remember its nature and importance. He's about to tell us what they're not there to do. They are not thus honorably distinguished from the rest of their fellow subjects merely that they may privilege their persons, their estates, or their domestics, that they may lift under party banners. Hear that? What they're not supposed to do, that they're not supposed to lift under party banners. They're not supposed to, here, Blackstone says, grant or withhold supplies. They're not supposed to vote with or against a popular or unpopular administration. You ever hear that? They say, well, the Democrat caucus, the Republican caucus, and when they take votes, it's on party lines, man. I mean, are they that ideologically different? And some have, and folks, think about this. This is what Blackstone says they're not supposed to be doing. Going with or against a popular or unpopular administration. But he goes on to say, but upon considerations far more interesting and important, they are the guardians, and I'll change the English words to the American words here. They are the guardians of the American Constitution. That's what they're there to do. The makers, repealers, and interpreters of the American laws to delegate to, they are delegated to watch, to check, and to avert. Watch, check, and avert every dangerous innovation. Right now, what I see in our Congress is people almost trying to come up with dangerous innovations. That's not what they're there to do.
Well, the Republican dangerous innovation is like this,
and they do marketing.
Well, we have the Democrat dangerous innovation like this.
Neither of them have anything to do with anything listed in the Constitution, while a postal service and war fighters overseas languish in lack of supplies and they become dysfunctional. That's just something I'm observing. So they're delegated to watch and to check to avert every dangerous innovation, to propose, to adopt, and to cherish any solid and well-weighed improvement. It is supposed to be an improvement, right? And you know what they're not supposed to do? Create something, make it completely dysfunctional, and use that as an excuse to take over more of the world. It's just what I'm thinking. Bound by every tie of nature, of honor, and of religion, wow, to transmit that Constitution and those laws to their posterity, amended if possible, at least without any derogation. There's some other pertinent things that are there. But really, my topic today, and this kind of goes to it, is my guest the other day said that he was motivated by his Christian upbringing to have the beliefs that he has, and he's embraced the Socialist Party's agenda. And he said that, well, Jesus was a socialist. And people say that, but you know what? That's wrong. It's wrong. They're not reading the Bible cover to cover, and they're not reading the teachings of Jesus. It's very possible they're not applying it, because there's a certain amount of knowledge you get with putting it into practice. A certain amount of understanding you don't have to read when you're doing it. Something to think about. So was Jesus a socialist? I'm going to sum up something that I think was summed up very neatly. Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, I believe what's his name, George Mason, had some influence on this. This is a quote, 1786, this is prior to the U.S. Constitution, January 16th, finally passed in the General Assembly of Virginia, this Act for Religious Freedom. This is over 200 years old. Whereas Almighty God hath created the mind free, that all attempts to influence it by temporal punishments or burdens or by civil incapacitations tend only to beget habits of hypocrisy and meanness. Now watch this. In other words, they're saying using the power of the sword, right? God's way, God has set things up. There's certain things you don't do using the power of the sword. And this is why. Look at what they said here. They went on to say, what somebody recently said, somebody famous, some Nobel Peace Prize winner recently said this is not a Christian nation. But look at what this says. And are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion. And their religion was already listed in their constitution 10 years earlier, and the term Christian was used. And are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion. Listen to this, who being Lord both of body and mind, yet chose not to propagate it by coercions on either, as was in his almighty power to do. If it's a good thing to worship Almighty God, that's the question. Is it a good thing? In fact, if you go to the Ten Commandments, the first four are Almighty God worship statements in the Ten Commandments. You know, including honor the Sabbath, because it's a day set aside. The Lord set aside for us, and it's an opportunity to remember him in it. So for sure, the first three are expressly to honor him. So it's a good thing to honor Almighty God. Look what the understanding of our founders was. They don't sound very socialist. They said that it was a departure from the plan of our holy author of religion, who being Lord of both body and mind, yet chose not to propagate it by coercions on the body or the mind, as was his almighty power to do. There's this understanding that if it's a good thing to worship Almighty God, how come Almighty God just doesn't absolutely use the, you know, in America, use the power of the sword to make people do it? Is it a good thing to feed the poor? Yes. Is it a good thing to give and it'll be given unto you? Yes. It's a good thing. Is it a good thing to honor your father and mother? Yes. Is it a good thing to take care of your children and not be an infidel? Yes. It's a good thing to do. Does God demand that every one of us use the power of the sword to exercise those things that are religion? And you say, well, is feeding the poor religion? Yeah, because if you challenge and say Jesus was a socialist, well, let's see what the teachings of Jesus. His brother James said. He said, if a man knows a good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Okay? It's sin. But you don't whack them over the head with a sword and cut their head off, do you? They're going to be held accountable. They will reap what they sow. He who has more will be given. He who does not have that which he has will be taken away. So that's what Jesus taught. He didn't say use the power of the sword to make everybody perfect and make sure everything is equalized. It's nowhere in there. And not even implied. In fact, just the opposite is at least implied, if not expressly commanded. So it's a good thing to feed the poor. As I said, James said that true religion was taking care of the widows and the fatherless. That's social welfare. He said it was true religion. The Bible says that is religion. So we don't use the power of the sword to force religion. So that's my input here, or part of my input on this idea. Our number here is 888-850-1872. If you've got something that you think would be something that would indicate that Jesus was a socialist, you can give us a call, 888-850-1872. We'll discuss it. We're going to discuss it calmly and carefully. I think it's important. And if you think that Jesus and God would like to have the democratic rule be the rule of law, and that everybody must conform to that narrow, to that Broadway norm, 51-49 vote, should everybody have to be, by the power of the sword, subject to participating in this act of religion of taking care of everybody's health care or everybody's old age retirement benefit, by the power of the sword, should they, from a is Jesus a socialist perspective? Is there a mandate that it was instituted in the New Testament or even the Old Testament that the power of the sword be used to institute socialism? That's a good question. I think not. I'm of the opinion that it's everything I see from in the beginning, in the Hebrew it would be Bereshith, and in the end of the scriptures, in Hebrew again, there's a word Amen. So Hebrew in the beginning, Hebrew in the end, first and last words of the Bible. If you read them from cover to cover, you get an understanding that says that God, even in the Old Testament, commanded things to happen, social welfare things to happen, like to make food available by allowing the gleanings to remain on the ground and things like that, to give a tithe every third year that's specifically set aside for the poor. But you know what? There was not a big power of the sword given to enforce it. It was a command that we would reap the benefit if we act it out, and we will reap what we sow. Now, that kind of confused, you know, some of our callers, and not our callers, but even maybe our guest, that we're held accountable. And even today, what's happening today is you see America, because they're becoming increasingly depraved, instead of freedom, what we're seeing is licentiousness, where those things that were abhorred in the Bible, in fact, expressly told to destroy. See, the power of the sword wasn't there to love your neighbor, but the power of the sword was there to take care of and eliminate and punish those who did the insane, wicked things. Men with men committing that which is unseemly and reaping in themselves the recompense which is due. I mean, there's a lot of weird things. It's called licentiousness that's going on. I think I actually had a quote from Jesus on that. So if you bring that up, it's about every good tree bearing good fruit and bad tree bearing bad fruit. There's an Exodus. Okay, let's go to the Ten Commandments here. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And that's in the that's a lot of trashy stuff you're seeing in the video stuff. I mean, hey, that's somebody else. It's not your wife, nor his male servant, oh boy, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And that's part of our problem is, look at those evil capitalists who are taking from the world. Well, you know what you do? Get off your hindquarters, off your Rumpelstiltskin, and go out and do something for somebody who's less fortunate to you. And I would say, biblically, stop and watch what happens. I mean, just watch what happens. Take note at what happens in response. And I'm telling you, you'll experience. You think we evolved because you can't meet God? Go out and do what he commands and see what happens. I had a guy come to me one day. I was being mocked. I was in the Navy, and I was called goody-goody and all this kind of stuff. And a guy came to me, you know, in the night, like Nicodemus coming to Jesus, because, you know, when nobody's looking, you go talk to Chief Carmichael, because you don't want to be seen that you're talking to him, because he's a goody-goody. So, but he told me, he says, Chief, you know what? I was at the bottom of my life. I was in this bad situation. He opens the Bible. He's just, God, if you're there, talk to me. He opens the Bible to Malachi 3, chapter 3, verse 10. And it says, test me in this. He looks down and it says, test me in this. See if I will not pour out a blessing on you that you cannot contain. He was talking about giving. God was rebuking him. He was falling apart. His life was falling apart. He was out of money. And so God rebukes him in scripture. He opens the Bible just like that. He's like, I don't really believe in you, God, but if you're there, talk to me. And it says, test me in this. See if I will not pour out a blessing. You know what he did? Took the last 50 bucks he had and gave it away. And I'm telling you, he had an awesome experience, and he came to tell me about it. He knows there's a living God. Hey, we're going to come back. You can give us a call at 888-850-1872. Hey, what do you think? Was Jesus a socialist? Let's talk about the good, bad, and the ugly about it.